Towards the end of the parsha, we have the real preparation of the Aharon Uvanov, of the Kohanim, in order for the Mishkan to become operational, which takes place next week in Shmini. So Shmini begins V'yom HaShmini, on the eighth day. So anytime something begins on the eighth day, so you know that there are 7 days preceding it. So the 7 days are mentioned at the end of this week's parsha. Source number one, Umipetach Ohel Moed, Lo Teitzu Shivat Yamim. So I'm pausing here for a second. From the opening of the tent, should not leave for 7 days. Ad Yom Mlo'ot Yimei Milu Echem. Now, those words are too nice to translate. Until you fill up or you fulfill the days of the Milu'im completion, Ki Shiv'at Yamin Yimale Et Yedchem. No. For in 7 days you're going to fill Yimale, complete again. The word complete in here, Yimale, is a little hard. I mean, Malay means to fill. So over here you have the word Milo'ot, Milu'echem, and Yimale, one after the other within one pasuk. So it's not, that's not all that easy. And then the next pasuk begins in the middle of the sentence, Kasher asar b'yom hazeh, tziva Hashem lasot l'chaper lechem. So the word kasher over here is also a little strange within this context. Kasher asar Hashem b'yom hazeh, as God did on this day, God commanded to bring about kapara. So I'm saying, just pointing out that verse as well is not completely understandable. And by the entry to the Ohel Moed, you should sit day and night for 7 days. Ushmartem et mishmeret Hashem v'lo tamutu. And to guard the mishmeret Hashem, place of guarding for God, and don't die. Ki chen tzuviti, because this is what I commanded. Vayas Aaron of Anavet called him Hashem Tivah Hashem Be'ad Moshe. And Aaron and children, and Aaron and sons, did everything which God commanded by through Moshe. And this is the way the parsha comes to its conclusion. And then we move to Yom HaShmini. So we're going to try to understand what these verses are referring to. The Chizkuni, in source 2, Lo teitzu shivat yamim, pirish. Lo yasku b'davar acher. It means, do not let yourself be involved in anything other than this. V'lo yilchu l'makom acher, and don't go any other place. But then he makes an allowance. Ach b'layla yotzim l'tzarcheihim. But at night, they'd be allowed to. Why? Because he says, don't get carried away. When it says 7 days, it doesn't really mean 7 days. 7 days is negotiable. Why? Dugma, for example, what do we see? V'yivku et Moshe 30 yom. They cried for Moshe for 30 days. Ki'ilu lo yashum rega shelo bachu. There wasn't even 1 second they didn't cry. V'chein v'sukot teshvu shivat yamim. It says in v'sukot, sit in the sukkah for 7 days. V'chein min hamikdash lo yetzei. Right? So therefore, by a sukkah, you really sit there 24/7? So it says, no, same thing, don't leave the mikdash, doesn't mean it, don't get carried away. Now, by the way, why bring these as the references is also interesting. Why specifically Sukkot and why specifically Moshe? And I'm not going to address that, but I think there is what to speak about here. The Ibn Ezra goes a little bit further even to back up this perspective. Yesh omim lo tetzei shivat yamim uvalaylo yotzim l'tzarcham. At night they can go, it was only during the day. Which, by the way, is not the way that it sounds. Right? Why do I say it's not the way it sounds in the pasuk? Umipetach oel moed teshvu yomum v'layla shivat yamim. It makes it sound. So Ibn Ezra says no. V'nachom minish yatzu b'shat hatzorech b'yomu v'layla. And he says at the end, v'atam shelo yitasku b'davar v'lo yochul makom acher v'chein min hamikdash lo yotzei kasher faresh. He goes, this is similar to what we find later on in Perek Kaf Aleph, but we'll see others who make this reference. Look at the Russian source 4. El Petach Omoid, V'afa Gav Delohu Kama Mishkan Ad Yom Shmini Shel Miluim Shehurish Chodesh Nisan מכל מקום מירים בתורת קונים, דקול שבעה ימים המילואים, היומו שמעמיד המשכן שחרית, ומפרקו ערבית, ובשמינו קימו ולא פרקו. לכך נאמר הוקם המשכן. So now we're recognizing what the Rosh is pointing out, that there's a technical problem here. What's the technical problem? The Mishkan's not standing. So it says, don't leave the entrance of the Mishkan for 7 days, day and night. But it wasn't standing at night. If it wasn't standing at night, what are they not? They're not leaving. The Mishkan's leaving. So, I mean, his point, again, if this is correct, if this tradition is correct, then it's a little difficult to say day and night. But the Chumash says day and night. So there's something else is clearly going on over here. The Ramban, similarly, ופתח עומו תשבו יומום ולילה, שבעת ימים, ושמרתם את משמרת השם, ולא תמותו, על דעת הברייתא של תורת כהנים, again, based upon הלכה, עניין הפסוק הזה, שלא יצאו מפתח עומו יום ולילה, בשעת עבודה. You never allowed to leave when there's something to be done. כלומר, עד שישלימו כל העבודה המוטלת עליהם באותו עת. That this is saying, don't leave day and night, and then adding in parenthetically, until your work is done. If the work is done, then you can leave. And by the way, generally, there's not all that much work to do at night, so why would it have said at night to begin with is not... So, and what kind of work is going on? Because Moshe is functioning as the Kohen Gadol right now. So as it's burning all night, but as I said, he takes down the Mishkan at night. So again, the Mishpeach. I'm just saying is that what we have over here, I hope you all recognize that we have complete confusion over here in all of these sources, trying to understand the essence of these preparatory days. The Ralbag, and I want to explain the Ralbag. It's dangerous thing. I'm sure they have insurance. The Ramban says, "V'sham zichrua toelet hamagia mizeh hapoel lichadesh hakuna v'akdusha la'aron levanav ba'ofen shiruuyim lechaper azulatam." That the purpose of these 7 days is in order to. Now I'm not sure which word to use. If I was speaking in a modern context, I would use the word energize. That they want to try to make the Kohanim functional, which means there's really two things here that need to become functional. One thing that needs to become functional is the Mishkan itself, which really happens on the eighth day. That's the day the Mishkan becomes functional. The other thing that needs to become functional in order for the Mishkan to become functional are the Kohanim to become functional. So read this Ralbag again. V'shem zichro to'elen magia mizeh po'al l'chadesh ha'ko'una v'akdusha l'aron l'vanav ba'ofen sheyu re'uyim l'chaper ozulatam. They are going to become agents in order to bring about forgiveness for others. For them to become agents to bring about forgiveness to others, they're going to be a forgiveness agent. So what is the first thing you need to do to become a forgiveness agent? You need to achieve forgiveness yourself. Otherwise, how can you achieve forgiveness for others? Which means the process whereby the Kohen is going to function for others, he needs to go through something now. That's what the Ralbag is saying. So these 7 days are in order to get the Kohen ready. By the way, if the Kohen needs to get ready, he can get ready both while he's working and he can get ready while he's not working. I mean, sleep is important, right? You know, sleep is important also. So at night and having the downtime is also important to prepare for what you're doing. Although, as I said, he doesn't say that. In fact, he says quite the opposite. Let me just finish this line. Mashu ra'alav, ba'ofen shu nikiyim bishleimut michata'im. So again, what the Ravag is saying is that they need to go through 7 days of spiritual cleansing in order for them to become functional, that they can now become kohanim. Unless they're not. But yeah, generally, yes. The problem is that there's two different Ohel Moeds. There's one Ohel Moed which is synonymous. There's another Ohel Moed which is Moshe's tent.
Which does not exist at this point, or does exist in the Mishkan?
It does exist. You could look in Targum Onkelos. He's pretty consistent in translating Olam Moed differently depending on which one it is. So just in case you ever looked at the Onkelos and say, hold it, why did he translate it here this way and that, that? You'll see that he uses two different phrases to translate the two different Olam Moeds. One is Moshe's tent and the other is the holy tent. But they're both called tents of meeting because that's where God comes to speak, but depending when. The reference which a number of the commentaries really have been pointing to, the reference is back in Shemot Perek Kaf Tet. That's when the actual orders or instructions for this were given, and really Parshat Tzav is the implementation of this orders. Over here it's the same kind of words are used, Shivat Yamim, you know, for 7 days, Yubasham HaKohen Tachtav Mibanav, Shivo Ol Moed, L'Sharet BaKodesh, right, continuing Pasuk, right, with Aaron and so on, doesn't live with Petach Ol Moed, V'Ochlu Otam Asher Kupar Behem L'Malei Et Yadam, L'Kadesh Otam, V'Zar Lo Yechal Ki Kadoshem, The words miluim and timalei adam are related, as we saw in the pasuk before. For 7 days they get filled up. Timalei adam. It's very interesting. The phrase here al hakipurim. The chiteta al mizbeach bekaparecha alav umashach oto lekadsho shivat yamim techaper al mizbeach vekidash oto, which means now we're bringing out forgiveness for the kohanim, for the mishkan, for the mizbeach, in order to get everything properly functioning. Which means these 7 days or days of forgiveness. Who needs forgiveness? The Kohanim need forgiveness so they can then later become agents of forgiveness. That's what we understand so far. I will point out that the offerings which will be brought on the 8th day, both by Aaron and by Am Yisrael, on the 8th day, Shemini, next week, when I'm not here, the offerings brought on Shemini are incredibly similar to the offerings that will be brought on Yom Kippur itself. They're not exact, but they're very, very similar. Which means over here, speaking of 7 days of Kippurim and then getting to the 8th day, and then later on having a Yom Kippurim, there seems to be some type of an analogy, but I'm going to explain that more as we move on. Now look at Rashi. Rashi's going back to explain our first source. Now, we had there Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Lamed Dalet, Lamed Hey, Lamed Vav. And Lamed Dalet seemed like actually the least exciting, but it was maybe the most difficult. Kasher asa b'yom hazeh, tziva Hashem la'asot l'chaper aleichem. Rashi over here explains, tziva Hashem la'asot kol shevet hayamim, all 7 days. V'rabotenu zal dershu la'asot, ze ma'aseh para. That refers to the preparation of the para aduma. Lechaper, ze ma'aseh Yom HaKippurim. Lechaper is referring to Yom HaKippurim. Ulelameid shekohen gadol to'in prisha, kodem Yom HaKippurim, shivat yamim, v'chein ha'kohen hasaref et ha'para. So what Rashi just now did is basically he encompassed a discussion which takes place in the beginning of the Gemara in Masechet Yoma. The Gemara in Yoma starts off the Mishnah. We have the source later on, maybe we'll get to it. It says that the Kohen will be removed from his house and secluded for 7 days leading up to Yom Kippur. Right? Aseret Yimei Tshuva was very different for the Kohen Gadol than it was for everyone else today. He gets secluded and he gets really locked up more or less inside the Beit HaMikdash. What Rashi is telling us is that we have over here a parallel. The parallel is A, the preparation for the Mishkan, Yimei Miluim. That's what we're talking about. That's this week's Parsha. This is parallel to, on the one hand, the Kohen Gadol, who prepares every year for Yom Kippur. And I pointed out a moment ago that the offerings, the Yom Kippur, the offerings that Kohen will bring on Yom Kippur are very similar to the offerings on Yom Shmini. Which means to say that there's a parallel in the 7 days is really telling me there's a parallel between Yom Kippur and Yom HaShmini. So therefore, this should not be as... So let's work backwards then. If there's a parallel between the offerings brought on the 8th day, Yom HaShmini, and on Yom Kippur every year, so maybe it shouldn't be so surprising that now that we see that the preparation every year for the Kohen Gadol should not be all that different from the preparation for all the Kohanim leading up to the 7th day over here. Okay, that's more or less the parallel. But Rashi just told us another one as well. What's the other parallel? The second parallel, that also the Kohen Gadol who's preparing for the Parah Aduma, which by the way is not for Kapara. The Parah Aduma doesn't bring about forgiveness. It's for Tahara. It brings about purity. Of course, if you're clever, you can come back and argue and say, well, Yom Kippur does both. Yom Kippur, how do I know Yom Kippur does both? Ki Yom Zeh, no. L'taheretchen. Which means it's not just forgiveness from sin, it's also cleansing from sin. So it's interesting that over here we're going to have the Beit HaMikdash or the Mishkan consecrated. We're going to begin. The purpose of the Beit HaMikdash or the Mishkan is to bring about Kapara. The greatest day of the year in the Mishkan and in the Beit HaMikdash, which is really the epicenter of the Kedusha, the Kodosh HaKedoshim as it were, the Shabbat Shabbaton, is Yom Kippur. What we're learning then is that in a sense, when we prepare for the building of it, we're really preparing for the holiest day that it's going to be used. How do you prepare? You prepare for the maximum. That's going to be the highest usage that it's going to have. That's what we're preparing for. But as I said, there's this other side to it, which Rashi's now introduced. As I said, this is from the Gemara, that it also brings about tahara. It also brings about purity. But I'm saying now when you think about it, you realize that Yom Kippur really brings the two together. It brings about kapara, forgiveness from sin, but it also brings about tahara from sin. So far what we have is a parallel which has a couple of different elements. What are the elements? The 7 days of Miluim, preparing for Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol who's secluded, and we have the Kohen Gadol secluded for the Parah. That's what is lined up over here, according to what Rashi just now told us. So in source number 10, you have to be patient. In source number 10, we have something that we wouldn't have understood without Charlotte explaining this. The pasuk over here is in Shmot, Perek Yud Bet, pasuk Mem Vav. It's talking about eating the Korban Pesach. And it says, Bebayit Echad Yechal, you'll eat in this place, Ke'inyan, and that's similar to, Umi Petach O'amod Lo Tetzeo. I say, what in the world does even the Korban Pesach have to do with the Kohen Gadol not leaving for 7 days? Here's something that I wouldn't have thought at all has any connection. When you realize that this was, in fact, during Nisan, so then the connection gets a little stronger. But listen where he takes it. He says, V'ha'inyan, Shetiyeh ha'bracha mitzuyasham. That the point is that we need there to be a blessing over here. And I want you to pay close attention to this and the next source, because it's important. It says, Ki inyan v'natal bracha'an b'chashai, because the way that blessings come are in secret. V'yadata ki eina bracha mitzuya, ela b'davar hatsnuya. And blessings only appear where places which have tzni'ut. Now, if I were a real rabbi, I would go off on a whole tangent about how tzniut is important and tzniut is dress and so on. But that's not at all what this means over here. It has nothing to do with that. It actually talks about what the Rekhanati is really telling us is what is authentic tzniut. Authentic tzniut, he's telling us, is connected to bracha. Because it's connected to modesty. But it's a different type of modesty. The source that he's referencing, if I'm not mistaken, is 11. V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, eina bracha mitzuya, ela b'davar hasamoy min ha'ayin. That the place where blessings exist by things that are not seen. So, 100%. that what he's saying over here, well, let me just back it up one more step. The Korban Pesach, I'm sorry for talking about Pesach, we're getting very close, right? The Korban Pesach, is it a Korban Tzibur or Korban Yachid? Is it a Korban of the community or is it a Korban of the individual? So what's the answer? No, no, no. It's an individual. It's a Korban. It's a Korban Yachid. It's the family. But it's a Korban Yachid. All the halachot about the Korban Pesach, it's a Korban Yachid. It's not a Korban Tzibur. Okay, if you didn't know it, it's worth coming just for that. What do you do if they build a Beit HaMikdash and they ask you? It's a test. Eliyahu comes and says, what is it? So now you know. It's a Korban Yachid. And therefore, there's a private element to it. I'm just explaining the idea, the philosophy, or theology behind it. There's something which is private about it. What he's telling us is that the eating of the Korban Pesach, even though it's done within the family, it's done for something which is privately. Why? So now what's the Rekhanati's reason? Because that's how blessing takes place. Blessings don't take place when you put something out in public. Blessings take place in private. Look, there's also a mystical aspect of this, is that miracles don't take place in the open. Miracles generally take place when somebody doesn't notice it. That's how derech hateva, because you don't notice that it's taking place. That's really what he's saying over here, is that the blessings, and I hope you understand the irony, because when it comes to Pesach, all the miracles did take place in the open. But he's saying is that the spiritual impact of Pesach, the blessing, to get filled up spiritually from it, that's something that takes place privately. Which means, you know, otherwise we could have had the Pesach Seder. It should have been, have it in the shul, have the whole, community together, or have all of Am Yisrael together should come to the Har HaBayit. Even there they divide it up. And what he's saying over here is more so, is he says that why? Because blessings take place where something is hidden. And he says, and that is exactly why we're told that the Kohen Gadol, or all the Kohanim, need to be secluded, because that's how they get transformed. They get transformed and the blessing comes. The blessing comes. Transformations don't take place publicly. Transformations take place privately. That's what's being said here. Take a look at the Zohar. And I'm just reading it because the Zohar in 12 will be explained by Rabbeinu Bechaya in 13 without giving real or clear attribution. But I'll read it and then we'll read the Rabbeinu Bechaya. Itma ki'ihi shariya ba'ara kadisha b'kol inan shiva yumin kulu bishlimo haduhu dechtiv shiva yomim yimalei et yedchem uvegin kach ekrot shiva yimei hamiluim daika. Pay attention. So what he's saying is that the word yimalei et yedchem, your hands will get filled up. That's what yimei hamiluim. Yimei hamiluim is when you get filled up. Now listen to the Rabbeinu Bechaya. As I said, he's just explaining the Zohar I just now read. Kishavat yomim yimalei et yedchem. Your hands will be filled. V'chein amalor kodesh baruch hu b'seidu v'tatitzaveh. Going back to where the instructions were back in Shemot. Shivat yomim timalei et yadam. Again, they get filled up. V'al derech ha-kabbalah. This is the Zohar. He's not telling us exactly where he's citing from. V'al derech ha-kabbalah hayu ha-miluim shiv'a k'neged ha-shiv'a ha-yidu'im. Referring the well-known seven. You have no idea what this well-known seven is yet. We'll come back to that soon. Skip a little bit where it's underlined. Ulekach nikru yemei miluim lashon shleimut kidugmatam shleimut hakol. So I don't know if you can convince soldiers today who go off on miluim, but he's saying is what is miluim? Miluim is when you get filled up, when you get perfected. Yemei miluim is when miluim, you get filled up during these days. Yemei miluim, the days that you get. But by the way, on an ideological level, it's true. Somebody who goes and gives and sacrifices is somebody who actually receives a great amount. But I'm saying that the biblical name of the Yemei miluim, and you really can't avoid this. I guess you can avoid anything. But if you go back and you read that verse, the first one in the first source we read, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, when we petach o amod lo titzu shivat yamim ad yom milot yimei milu eichem ki shivat yamim yimalei et yedchem. I mean, it's so clear after you read the Zohar, it's so clear what it's saying over here. That sense of complete. You get filled up. You get completed during these days. The bracha, which again, we just want to go back to the Rekanati now, the bracha which is involved in this, when you get secluded, you get filled up with all of this blessing. That seems to be precisely what the Rabbeinu Bechaye is teaching us. Tiferet Shlomo, who, by the way, is quite late. He's one of the early Hasidic masters, but quite late compared to everyone else I've read so far. It says, Shiva yamim tamalei et yadchem, yesh lavin inyanam elu'im, v'tzivui Moshe shimalei et yadam, ki ein lo bi'ur. He goes, you need to understand this, because it makes no sense by itself. Because what does it mean, to get filled up? Achinei ha-kohanim heim ha-kelim ha-mashpi'im ha-chasadim v'tovot al bnei Yisrael b'nisiyut yideihem ala am kinoda v'hu shenitztaveh Moshe malayet yadam lebracha. He actually gave a visual to it. The visual is that the Kohanim are going to stand up and they're going to bless the people. So in order to bless their people, their hands have to get somehow filled up. So how do their hands get filled? Again, you can understand it, and there is even the shapes of the way they put their fingers, they become a kli whereby the divine flows. But what he's saying over here is that in order for them to bless, their hands that need to be filled. You can't bless with empty hands. So how does the hands get filled? That's the Yimalei Yidchem. Their hands get filled up so they can fill. So I'm saying all the sources we just now read are all going in the same direction. They're saying that during this time of seclusion, that when one is secluded, when one is seclusion, transformations take place. The Kohanim themselves need to become different people. They need to become people who now bracha is there. Bracha is not out in the public. Bracha is something which is private. And therefore, they need to be secluded in order to be private, in order to get filled up. So it seems to be that this time which is being set aside, it's not what they're doing or what they're learning. It's that they're not with the rest of the world. And they're by themselves right now really becoming kelim, right, utensils, to be able to give about bracha. Now, there are two elements that I want to touch, and then we'll start to maybe understand all the other things. I debated when to get to one of them, but one of them I want to go back to something we've already said. The Gemara, back in the beginning of Masechet Yoma, we can look at the Gemara right now. The Gemara is in Source 18, Shivat Yamim Kodem Yom Kippurim, Mafrishim Kohen Gadol Mibeito Lishkat Par Hadrin. 7 days before Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol gets secluded, taken away, and put in this place. And by the way, I can say the reason it happens is just for him to avoid problems. The Gemara, in the middle of Source 18, says, Menoni Mile, how do we know this? From where do we learn this? Amar Rav Menyumi Bar Chelki, Amar Rav Machasi Bar Idi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Kra, Kasher Asa B'Yom Azet Tziva Hashem Lasot, L'Chaper Aleichem. Lasot, Elu Ma'asei Parah. L'Chaper, Elu Ma'asei Yom Kippurim. You recognize that Gemara? You should. That's what Rashi said. Meaning, Rashi knew this Gemara, and Rashi knew that the Gemara is going to ask, how do I know the Kohen Gadol gets separated? And it brings it from this. But this verse actually links two things. Again, Eilam HaSei Yom HaKippurim, and then it goes on to talk about Parah as well. Right? You can skip a little bit over here. Let's see if it's Yalta. Which means the Gemara says that how do I know the Kohen Gadol gets secluded? Oh, so it brings the pasuk that we had over here, which is very different. Because again, I want to stress this. I could have said that the whole reason the Kohen Gadol gets secluded is to avoid Tum'ah. And if I read the Mishnah, you can get to that conclusion very quickly. The Kohen Gadol is to avoid the outside world, right? Nonetheless, the Gemara says, no, this is similar to the whole preparatory situation of the Kohanim leading up to Yom HaShmini, and it's similar to the Kohen Gadol who's preparing the Parah, which, again, leads up to Tahara. So, again, this should not be a terrible surprise to us that the Kohen Gadol, who's going to bring about Kapara and Tahara, should have both of these as the references. Now, there is one other reference which the Gemara plays with, which is actually quite difficult. The Gemara, a little bit further on, look at source 24 quickly, brings another source for it, from Moshe. Moshe, when he prepares to go up to Mount Sinai. Now, there's a little bit of a problem there, because it says he prepares for 6 days, not 7 days. The Mishnah says that you seclude the coin for 7 days. So look at source 24. V'chaseo anan lahar, v'yikrael Moshe. Moshe gets called, v'chol Yisrael omdim. V'lo ba'katuv ela l'chalei kavod l'moshe. Rabbi Natan amar, lo ba'katuv ela l'marok achila v'shtiyashem me'elav l'somo kimalchei hasharet. That during those 6 days, Moshe gets purged from all kinds of physical and becomes like one of the angels. Rabbi Matthew ben Charash amar, lo ba'katuv ela l'ayem alav k'dei she'et Torah nitne be'ima b'ratatu v'zeyah. In order to scare him, get ready, you're about to get the Torah, and that's not an easy thing. Shenemar, ivdu et Hashem b'yiro, gilu barada da. May v'gil barada, amarav ad bar matna, amarav makom gila, sham tiara ada. B'may, we'll skip a little bit over here. Right, Titania, b'shisha b'chodeshin at Torah l'Yisrael b'yosiyom b'shivabo. Now, I don't want to go through the whole Gemara over here. The Gemara is going to start asking, hold it a second, because it's trying to bring this as the reference, but hold it, is it 6 days or is it 7 days? Nonetheless, there's a long discussion here trying to understand that the source for the Kohen Gadol to be separated is actually Moshe Rabbeinu going up to Har Sinai. Now that at first glance also seems to say, okay, what are you talking about? What's the connection over here? Especially in light that we already have this drasha telling us that somehow it's connected to the preparation of the Kohanim generally, or the preparation of the Kohen for the Parah. So let's try to bring everything together and see if this will make any sense. Look first back in source 15 in Surah Hamor. And this is an our pasuk over here. What he does is something which is probably obvious, and you know, I would even assume some of you thought of it right away when we brought up the number 7. L'fisha kolza nirish ani omer kemitnavei v'eni odeya gilad davar v'amar umipetach ha'omoed lo titzu shivat yamim. That for 7 days, the Kohen can't go out. Keneged shivat yamei bereshit. This is similar to the 7 days of bereshit. By the way, and this is most likely what was referenced before, the 7 yamim at Yiduim. Why? Shehayu mitmotetim b'chet Adam harishon. The 7 days were collapsing because of Adam. Ve'elu shev yamim hayu l'chazek ha'olam shehayu shev yamei bereshit. And these 7 days, in order to fix the 7 days going back in Genesis. V'zehu ad yom mila'et yomo mila'ichem, to fill it up. Shehem ba'u l'malot b'makom Adam uvanav. They came to fill up what Adam, for Adam and his descendants. V'chein ba'im l'malot haguma, it's coming to fill the hole. L'fi shayom shahaya ha'olam chaser mitzad ha'chatat. The world is empty because of sin. Ki shiva yamim yom la'et yitchem l'chaper avon, to fix the sin. V'zeo kasher asa b'yom hazeh, so those of you who are concerned with things like original sin and such, this seems to be exactly what the Torah Mar is telling us, that the sin of Adam is impacting still. It has never been healed. And if we're going to start a Mishkan in order to heal the world, the first thing we need to heal is the first sin, which is affecting the world. He says a similar thing back in the other source in Titzaveh, again, where the instructions were given. Source 16. L'chein amar v'yala aron levanav l'chok olam l'chaper al ma'aseh ha'nachash. Right? What's the 7 days about? The 7 days about the nachash. Ulermoz shekol zeh hayu l'taken olam shaya mitmotet b'sibat avon adam arishon. And that the world, which really should be collapsing, but by the way, you say, hold it, but the world has existed at this point 26 generations and has not collapsed. You know, it's been doing okay. There is a teaching that says that you know, there's 26 kilom chasdov, right? 26. This is one, really, per God who causes there to be compassion. There's 26. Why? Because there's 26 generations. The 26 generations, the universe subsided purely on God's chesed, which means Adam sinned. Man, God says, the day you sin, you die. There should have been death, there should have been destruction, the whole world should have been turned back to tohu vavohu, which means the whole way the world exists, the first 26 generations, is purely based upon God's chesed. What's the first time that some kind of tikkun is taking place to try to fix what's broken? So that's what we're being told over here. What's to fix what's broken is taking place now for the first time, and now it's no longer going to be based on chesed, as it were. Now it's going to be that we're doing something in order to fix what's broken. That seems to be what the Tzrur HaMor is telling us. Yeah? Avram ben Yaakov Seba. Okay? Think a second together. He's talking about Adam HaRishon. Because of Adam HaRishon, as I said, the world should have been destroyed. What happens when Adam sins? Good. Get sent out of Gan Eden. Something else happened. Here, if you want more specific description here, Rabbi Avraham ben Yaakov Seba, born 1440. He was in Spain and later in Italy. Rav Mikubal Vuhuga Deyot, Yehudi Bidor Gerush Sfarad. Born in Castellina. He was a student of Yitzchak de Leon. In Gerush Sfarad, he was among those who were exiled from Spain. Now, fortunately, we've had a lot of worse times that we could... Okay. Enduring expulsion. Okay. So let's try again now and think. So you have expulsion of man from Gan Eden, expulsion from Jesus. Maybe that's not the point. The point is that you have death that comes into the world. And death that comes into the world gets healed by the Paraduma. Which means the reference over here to the Paraduma, to bring the tower, from death, we're looking, okay, what does this have to do with anything? So he's saying, no, that when we have the number seven is connected to the 7 days of creation. And the 7 days of creation, therefore, are directly related to sin, the need for kapara, and the need for tahara. But why for the need for tahara? Why the need for purity? Because of death coming into the world. Which means over here, the linkage between these various things, once I see this comment, is a lot clearer than it was right before we had this comment. I want to add, though, one more approach, which I think may take us to a similar place. Very famous Mishnah at the end of Ta'anit, source 19. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Lo hayu yom tov l'Yisrael, kim chameshes arba'av uki yom kippurim, shebehem benot Yerushalayim yotzot b'kli lavan she'ulin, shelol v'yeshet misha ein lo. Okay, we all know, I think this Mishnah, that there were, at one point, there were happy days for the Jews, the 15th day of Av, and Yom Kippur. These are the days that the girls would go out, and they would go out in the streets, they would borrow clothing, those who didn't have, everybody should have similar kind of clothing. They would go out dancing in the vineyards. Umahayu omrot, this would never work today. Umahayu omrot, what would they say? Bechor sana einecha, young man, take a look. Urama ataborer, lecha, what do you choose? Alti tenecha benoi. Don't look at beauty. The girls from the good families would say, don't look at beauty, look at the good families. Why? A woman who fears God, she's the one who should be praised. By the way, the Gemara then goes on to say, the girls from the good families would say, you should look at family. The girls who were pretty, they would say, look at looks. The girls who were neither, it says, you should do it l'shem shamayim. She marries him l'shem shamayim. The Gemara, though, doesn't ask, what if a girl's from a good family and she's pretty? Why doesn't it ask? Because they're married. They're married already. Okay, they're married already. So, the Mishnah continues. Sena Verena. Yeah. Sena Verena benot Zion. B'melech shlono ba'atara she'atra lo imo b'yom chatunato v'yom simchat libo. So the Mishnah at the end, and by the way, most likely the reason the Mishnah is bringing this is the end of Ta'anit. Okay, good. So it's good. Today is a fast day. So we have something about a fast day. The very end of the fast, or in this matter, the very end of Masechet Ta'anit, the Mishnah feels it needs to do something, and that's basically to end on a happy note. We know very often the Gemara does this. Very often the Gemara will end a chapter, end a whole Masechta on a happy note. The Mishnah, we don't see it as often. Here the Mishnah does it. But when you have the whole book has been about fasting, fasting because of no rain, or fasting because of particular holidays, or the fast days in the calendar, it wants to end up on a happy note, and let's take a look at the happy note it ends up in. Sena v'rena benot tzion b'melech shlomo, v'atarash atar lo imo, b'yom chatunato. So, take a look at this atara. What's an atara? The crown that his mother made for him, b'yom chatunato. Well, the guy got married 1,000 times, so I don't know. I don't know if he got a new atara every time, but his mother could have been bankrupt from this. The end of 19. Biyom chatunato uviyom simchat libo, on the day of his wedding and the day of his happiness. Now, by the way, when we just now read it from the posuk, does that sound from Shir Shirim? Does that sound like the same day or two different days? Biyom chatunato uviyom simchat libo. Is that the same day or two different days? Which does it sound? It sounds like it's the same day. Right?
Well, you would then separate.
You would think that it's the same. The mission then continues and says, "Biyom chatunato zumatan Torah, uviyom simchat libo zebinyan beit hamikdash, shibaneh b'mehera b'yameinu." Amen. Okay, and that's the way that it ends. Ta'anit, right? All these fast days, especially Shavuos B'Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, and so on. So it ends up with the building of the Beit HaMikdash, which again should be a clear, we could have anticipated it, that's where we end up the Masechta. Rashi writes, in source 20, Zeh Matan Torah, right, what is Matan Torah? Yom HaKippurim. Now, I could have had a couple of candidates for it. He says, Yom HaKippurim, Shinetnubo, Luchot Achronot. What did it say in the Mishnah itself? B'yom chatunato v'yom simchat libo. Yom chatunato zematan Torah v'yom simchat libo zebinyan beit hamikdash. What's Rashi telling me over here? So Rashi on the Mishnah is saying, oh, that's really Yom Kippur. Look at Rashi in 23. On these psukim in Shir HaShirim, B'yom chatunato Yom Matan Torah, she'itruhu lahem lemelech v'kiblu olo. When do the Jews, again, it's interesting. When do the Jews actually accept the Torah? They accept it on Yom Kippur. And that's part of what brings about the forgiveness. Uviyom simchat libo, Rashi writes, zeshmini lemiluim, she'nitchanech bo hamishkan bamidbar. So Rashi, over here, takes it all the way back to the eighth day by the Midbar. On the other hand, take a look what the Bartanura says back in source 21. V'yom HaKippurim, Shabonet Nuluchot Achronot, V'yom Yom Mechila V'Slicha, Zematan Torah, Yom HaKippurim, Shabonet Nuluchot Achronot, Zebinyan Beit HaMikdash, Shenitchanech V'yom HaKippurim. So when I said that there is this parallel over here, this parallel is a little clearer. By the way, if you look in the Seder Olam, which is in source 22, what does it tell us? Again, with something which we could have looked in the Pesukim, but it's very clear over here. The et beito bana shlomo shlosh esrei shana, az yikel shlomo et ziknei Yisrael, v'ikachu et amelek shlomo kol ish Yisrael, melamein she'en ha-shchina shara ela behakel, v'cheinu omer v'yir kol am v'yirunu, v'yomer v'yikru kol edavim lufnei Hashem, v'matan Torah, hu omer ki b'yom ha-shlishi yarad Hashem l'nei kol ha'am al har Sinai, v'beit olamim hu omer u'kachalot shlomo l'tpalel v'eish yirda, V'chol b'nei Yisrael ro'im b'redet v'chule, v'al oto sha'ahu omer tzene v'rena b'not zion v'yom chatunato, v'yom shmini shela acha shivit yimei milu'im, v'yom simchat libo, v'yom gamar beit ha'olamim. The Seder Olam just now made a cholent out of everything. Actually, the day, I don't know if you realize that as clearly over here as you could, it was really, Bartanura said it, but it is black and white. The day that Shlomo HaMelech consecrated the Beit HaMikdash was Yom Kippur. That was the day that the Beit HaMikdash was consecrated. So let's try to think this through and see if this makes sense. What I've been saying all along, that in this week's parasha talks about 7 days, and during these 7 days, we now realize that there's 7 days that the Kohen becomes the Kohen, there's 7 days the Kohen gets filled up, there's 7 days that the bracha will now emanate from this secluded place, and then we'll be able to come out to Am Yisrael. We learn in the Gemara in Masechet Yoma, and that's what Rashi told us right away, that these 7 days have a parallel. The parallel over here is a parallel between the Kohen Gadol being secluded prior to Yom Kippur and the Kohen who's going to do the Parah Aduma, right? And then there are scriptural reasons to connect those. In terms of philosophical reasons, at first glance, we don't necessarily see it. We're told from the Gemara then that there's a third thing to compare it to. What's the third thing to compare it to? Even though it was most difficult, because there it says 6 days, and what do you get the seventh day from? Unless you're counting the seventh day before Moshe goes up, and that's Moshe's preparation for Sinai. So now we go back and say, hold it. So what's the connection between all of these things? So apparently, the connection between all these things really is Yom Kippur. So how is Yom Kippur the connection to these things? Why? Because even though Moshe prepares to go up, why is the seclusion of the Kohen Gadol, just listen carefully, this will be clear now, why is the seclusion of the Kohen Gadol going to be compared to Moshe going up to Har Sinai? Ultimately, we failed, right? It didn't work in Har Sinai. What happened because it doesn't work? Moshe needs to go up again. Moshe goes up again and has to get the Luchot Shniot. By the way, Rashi over here said, Ze matan Torah, Yom Kippurim Shenubo Luchot Ha'achronot. When we're talking about Yom Simchat Libo, is Yom Kippur. It's the Luchot Shniot, right? That's the important point. What happens when Moshe gets the Luchot Shniot? Moshe functioned as the Kohen Gadol when he's up in Har Sinai. Very secluded place. How do I know he functioned as a Kohen Gadol on that day? Because he brought about Kapara, which means every subsequent Yom Kippur that we have is just a reenactment of that first Yom Kippur. What's the first Yom Kippur? The first Yom Kippur is Moshe being the Kohen Gadol. By the way, what happens during the 7 days of the Miluim? Moshe is the Kohen Gadol. Moshe is the Kohen Gadol in order to, as it were, pass over the baton to the people who now will be the Kohanim, Aaron and sons, and now they're going to function. Which means to say that there should be somehow a connection between Har Sinai and between these 7 days, and between the Kohen Gadol preparing for Yom Kippur, of course makes sense. Because ultimately that's what Sinai is. Ultimately receiving the Luchot is the second Luchot. Those are the ones that are whole. And those second Luchot are the ones that bring about Kapara. And those second Luchot were given on Yom Kippur. So there, now you start thinking, okay, so how much sense then does it make to start, even though I will admit that the Psukim that they're talking about is Moshe's preparation for the first time. So I'm just adding a leap that I'm taking. Presumably, if Moshe prepared himself to go up the first time to Har Sinai, Moshe prepared himself to go up the second time. So I would even go so far as to say that even though the Gemara over here is using the verses regarding the first time Moshe goes up, I'm guessing that there was a preparatory 6 or 7 days as well before Moshe goes up the second time. What happens when Moshe comes down? Then Moshe is Kohen Gadol. Moshe brought about Kapara. Therefore, every year when the Kohen Gadol prepares, in a certain sense, we always would have thought of that Kohen Gadol as being in the place of Aharon, right? B'mkom Aharon. So now we're learning, no, he's not just in the place of Aharon, he's also in the place of Moshe. You know, even in the sense, you think about this, when it says the Kohen Gadol goes in, how does it say he goes in? It's going to be very obvious what I'm going to say. How does he go in? What does it say? Ba'anan. He makes a cloud. What's the cloud that he makes out of the ketoret? It says, why do you take the ketoret? Why do you take the incense? In order to create a cloud. That's the word. Anan, with a cloud, he goes into. So now, after everything I've just now said, what's the purpose of this cloud? It's like Moshe going up to Har Sinai and going through the cloud. It's the clouds which cover the place on Har Sinai when we receive the Torah. The cloud by the ketoret, it's creating a cloud. And say, hold it. How did I ignore those words? What does it say by Har Sinai? The Anan comes down and rests on the mountain. So what happens when the Kohen Gadol goes in? He creates a cloud to go in. So hold it a second. There's the cloud. I've seen that. What's going on? So now I'm going back to him being in the place of Moshe, because Moshe the one who brings about the first forgiveness. What do we learn from the Tzur HaMor? He connected it to the other point that we had in the Gemara, and he doesn't quote the Gemara. What is the other thing in the Gemara? The thing is Paraduma. What is Paraduma? Because again, if I'm going to be really technical, the Paraduma has nothing to do with anything, because that brings about Tahara, not Kapara. Brings about Tahara. But now when I realize, again, two directions. One is that when man sinned the very first time in the Garden of Eden, he created a need for kapara on the one hand for the sin, and tahara, which purity, which is the implication of the sin, which now creates in a world which has impurity. Why? Because now there's death in the world. Now you need tahara. Which means the para aduma is absolutely 100% connected to the sin of Adam and Chava. Because when God says, when you sin, you're going to bring death to the world. Now there's death. Now we need to hear death. Yom Kippur brings about both. Yom Kippur, kifa yom hazeh, yechaper aleichem, litaher etchem, mikol chatoteichem. Yom Kippur is a day both of kapara and of tahara. And then I'll go back to what I said earlier, that these 7 days leading to the eighth day, especially when you pay attention to the offering brought on the eighth day and the similarity to the offerings in Yom HaShmini, to the offerings brought in Yom Kippur, you realize what I said in passing before. The purpose of the Mishkan is to bring about bracha and to bring about kapara, if you want even to bring about tahara. The major day is Yom Kippur. So when you prepare and you consecrate the Mishkan, you're going to consecrate it, keeping in mind what will be its ultimate usage. So therefore, we're going to have a similarity between the 7 days of Miluim leading to Yom HaShmini and the 7 days that the Kohen Gadol prepares leading up to Yom Kippur. Why is this all connected? So now I think that we see that all the pieces over here actually do come together. Have a easy, meaningful, hungry, caffeine-deprived fast, and have a happy Purim, which, yes?
I don't know if you mentioned this, but when they were preparing, when he was preparing the Kohen, that was the one time that Moshe was the Kohen.
Right. No, it's the two times. Yeah, I said it before. Moshe's the Kohen now, and he was the Kohen up on Har Sinai.
Right, so he's the Kohen, that's right. His chance.
Right.